Walking in woods on a sunny day with blue sky overhead and all those wonderful green leaves on both right and left side of the track, with occasional buttercups, actually plenty of them, and hollyhocks alongside, is well worth doing, isn't it? That's what I'm doing today. I'm back in a wood that I used to visit every day, and that I used to record audio in every day and share it, and often have conversations about it with people on Lemur. Louis, my English setter, is somewhere out there in front, and he's become very reliable in terms of coming back to me. So I don't worry anymore about the possibility that he would go off in the woods and go chasing something or following some scent and be missing for 5 or 8 minutes. Something that has bothered me in the past. It's along the track, which is rough, about 3 meters wide enough for big trucks and cutting machines, because some of this wood are spruce trees which are grown commercially. Others are broadleaf deciduous trees. The path is kind of what you would call full of shards, so you wouldn't walk it in your bare feet. The difference between walking and strolling is important. I'm certainly not striding. And the difference between strolling and ambling could be subject of a conversation someday, couldn't it? Maybe they're just synonyms, perfect synonyms. Just seen a rook fly down from a tree and fly through a gap in the woods. The gap being made by people harvesting the trunks of trees. Did you catch the sound of a panting dog running past me a minute ago? This is where I used to read a book as I walked along and shared the audio of the book reading. It was a book reading with comments, and the book was called Wanderlust. I think it was called The History of Walking. And it was by a very talented woman, I think called Selnick. I ought to be able to remember, but I can't. A woman who lives, I think, in California. And it was a survey of the way people have written about walking over the centuries, going way back into the Greeks, I think, and coming all the way up through more contemporary writers like Wordsworth and indeed others whose names I can't remember. Unfortunately, I misplaced the book, and I was going great guns with recording it, and then it stopped and I never got a replacement. And the book is full of comments in the margins about bits of what she had to say about walking and things they reminded me of. You know the way in which you take a book and you don't so much read it as you consume it, you engage with it, you grapple with it, you underline it, you highlight it, you scribble in the margins, and you do a whole load of things that you were taught not to do when you were young. That's the way I engaged with that book. There are leaves of grass along the verges here. I wish I knew the names of all the evergreen trees. I'm particularly weak on evergreen trees. There's culverts running along both sides, which in the winter, or even in the spring, and certainly probably in the late summer, will be filled with water. And in there, off the track, are mushrooms, or will be mushrooms. I forget which month of the year the mushrooms are to be harvested. Something tells me it's September. Along here I've met several people from Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, because in those places people harvest mushrooms and eat them. And I learned quite a bit about how to cook mushrooms. The kind of big ones you get here in the woods. But I'm not a harvester. One of my brothers is, and he's even gone on courses, weekend courses, all about harvesting and how to live in the wild, if you like, on the food that you can find. Found food. It's therapy, really, going along like this. Talking to you as if, well, as you are a companion. I feel you, your presence. Now, in other words, I don't feel I'm talking to myself. I feel I'm talking both to myself and to you. I suppose you could say I'm talking to you and you and you. The company I had before while walking in the woods was a huge reward for the tiny effort that it took to do it. Many of those pieces of audio were 15 or maybe even 20 minutes long, so they were an acquired taste. During the month of June, when several people are recording pieces of audio every day, and part of the kind of festival of audio called Audio Mo, very few people make long audios, and I think the people whose audios are most popular are ones who make audios which are 2 minutes long. But this experience of walking in the shade cast by the evergreen trees, looking up into a blue sky with wisps of cloud, this experience deserves more than 2 minutes in order to convey this, or even to experience a sense of togetherness, the sense of being present. I think of talking to you like this as a sense of, as part of the experience of being present with you, mainly because I don't think what I'm going to say to you before I say it. And I guess each word just follows the previous word, and gradually things make up sentences, and or first they make phrases and then they make sentences, and kind of if they're little paragraphs. I don't think the paragraphs are demarcated very clearly. There is a little looming gorse, a few remnants of the yellow flowers that so filled this place earlier in the year. We're kind of into the growth of whatever turns into blackberries. Well, I suppose I mean the berries. And Louis walks up and down the track, And he marks it fairly frequently. His tongue is hanging out as he copes with the thirst and the dry mouth. Just as you would do if you were experiencing what he is. Kind of hold your tongue out, don't you, to get, I don't know, somehow to relieve the dryness in the throat. Is that what it is? While I've been talking to you, I've forgotten about the sound of birds. The audio recorder has better hearing than my own. Sometimes when I play back, I can hear recorded sound of birds, which I didn't notice while I was walking along. Ferns, fresh green ferns, that kind of freshness. Little heather. Plenty of moss. Ivy alongside the path as well. I did hear that bird. There goes a butterfly. Did you hear its wings flap? Dog has seen something. Maybe he's seen a bird low down in the branches. Now he's moved on. I don't know where I'd be without Louis. Been my companion all the way, of course, through the pandemic. But he's been my companion in relation to my mental health. I think I've had the best part of 4 years of being well. I'm almost afraid to focus on when did my last bout of severe depression end. Well, I'm not afraid. I don't want to be looking back and celebrating the past. I'm more interested in being sensitive to the current situation today and how vulnerable or how delicate my mental health is, and how resilient I feel, because I can't change the past. I can have influence over the future, or the present and the future, but I can't control that either. The world is too complex to be controlled. Too many moving parts. Very crudely, you could divide the moving parts into internal and external. Wouldn't exactly be all that enlightening, but perhaps there are other divisions as well that can be added. I wonder if it would be possible to take Goffman's theory of emotional intelligence, or his conceptual framework for emotional intelligence, and adopt it as in some way, or build it into a notion of there being internal and external forces at play at all times. I don't know the detail of Goffman's framework model. Well, well enough to be able to even answer that. But do any of you, or do you in particular, know much about emotional intelligence? Don't suppose. Well, have you read the book? Aha. Another dog. And a man and a woman, with man pushing a pram. Now, where's my dog? Is he down there?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. He went off in the woods.
I think he's really gone down that way because he tore off, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's what a lovely, good-looking dog. What kind of a dog?
He's a Staffy.
Wow, he looks in great nick.
He's not too bad. He's fed better than myself, I suppose. He's the best way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. Probably lives on steak, does he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Oh my goodness. One of those dogs which should be muzzled. And the owners tell you, oh, he's the sweetest thing in the world. I used to be a lot more nervous about dogs that ought to be muzzled than I am now. I wonder, is that just letting my guard down? It's time to pull the threads together, which is a ridiculous thing to say, isn't it? It's time to stop, bring this languid experience to an end, or to adjourn it. It's been truly splendid, and thank you for your company. It's made a big difference.